Bill Curry Ford presents the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Bill Curry Ford, the giant, 65 plus years, family owned, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side, BillCurryFord.com.
They need a kick in the ass this week. I'm going to be the next Eddie Van Halen. If what Steve is suggesting as a possible motivating factor, if that's true, shame on you.
All right. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. Midweek Buccaneers edition. Hurricane Helene edition. We are here live at Hooters, our great partners. And I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Ira is here. Sage, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just had a chicken sandwich with a big slice of onion. So as I say that, Lee backs up his chair about 3 feet, and I don't blame him. Big hunk of onion on that bread.
You attack that sandwich like a hungry shark.
That first bite, Lee. Yeah. Can you describe it?
Chomp.
Chomp.
You're looking healthy, and it's good.
Lee and I just came from One Buck Place, where we saw a shell-shocked football team. Still trying to figure out what the hell went wrong. I don't think there's enough time to talk about it, but you know what? We're on to week four, Stevie. We're on to the Eagles, and as much as the Bucks are battered, the Eagles are battered.
Hopefully Tampa Bay area doesn't get too battered by this storm. We wish everybody luck if they had to evacuate. I'm sure we're being listened to in a hurricane shelter right now, Ira, which hopefully the volume's not too high, you know, scaring people.
And your boys from and women from Florida's Elite Restoration, they're going to have a very busy week, Steve.
Yeah, Florida's Elite Restoration is ready for roof-damaged homes all the way up to Tallahassee, Ira. They've dispatched a unit up there, and they are ready.
But this is their home base, right, Steve?
Of course. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You can see all their services, and hard-hit areas of Hurricane Helene, don't hesitate. It can be difficult to find a restoration company when a disaster strikes. Florida's Elite Restoration.
And ask for the Sage discount, right, Steve?
Ask for the Ira discount. When you call 24-7 and just mention you heard about him on Joe Bucks Fan or from Ira, and you'll save $500 if you eventually need their services. Of course, they're going to evaluate your property in person and make sure you get what is coming to you from your insurance company, which can be very difficult, Ira. But the message is call them first, get a plan now, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And the other message is all the way up to Tallahassee. So keep them in mind for our listeners up there. And, of course, we have people up there in Citrus County, Tallahassee as well. Florida's Elite Restoration.
And I guarantee Sean Sullivan's batting down the hatches over at the Bill Curry Ford. Yep.
Well, the nice thing is at Bill Curry Ford, you can shop right now 24-7. It doesn't matter if there's a storm going on, Ira. BillCurryFord.com. Maybe you have the day off from work. Get to their website. See that they are beating any advertised deal.
Nice big inventory, Stevie.
By $100. They're beating it. Big inventory, used vehicles. And, of course, you get that Bill Curry Ford greatness, which is family-owned, 65-plus years, a mile north of the stadium. And Sean is there for you. You know, I'm on the website now, Ira, BillCurryFord.com. All you got to do is click on staff there, and you're going to see Sean's mug, and you can send him a message.
You know, Steve, a couple of years from now, Lee, and it might not even take that long, if you're looking around for auto dealerships that are family-owned, you might only find one in a couple of years, and it'll be Bill Curry Ford.
I think we're here.
And there's a lot of advantages to the consumer in that regard.
Oh, very much so.
So don't worry. Drive Curry, and Bill Curry Ford will come out to your home. If you want to shop for a vehicle, they'll come pick you up and bring in and let you test drive something. They'll make all those arrangements, make it easy. And same thing for service. They could do service at your property, or pick you up and then get you a loaner vehicle while they do your job. So, Sage, there's also an extra coupon at BillCurryFord.com, $500 off your next vehicle purchase. All right, Ira, look, you said shell-shocked at $1. I don't know if I was getting that feeling, but what are you telling me?
Well, they've got big issues to address on both sides of the ball, Steve. Now, part of that is the flurry of injuries that hit them, and I don't want people to shut off this podcast as we just get started, but...
Then don't mention Logan Hall's name.
No, but Lee, haven't I been harping on how fortunate this franchise has been from an injury perspective? I've been harping on it for years. Now, thankfully, Mayfield's still healthy. You know, that's one of the points I make is how many straight starts the number one quarterback has made. But on defense, to Lee's point, which he's been making for 6 months, no pass rush, no sacks.
6 months? 6 years?
And I don't think that's all. As bad as that sack total is, you know what I think's really driving Bowles crazy? The tackling. I think that's driving Bowles crazy. The tackling. Especially that story you just wrote the other day about that fourth down pitch. That's a huge play in this game. Huge.
Yeah, Servasi Dennis is in there. I think he makes that play.
And then offensively, Steve, even if Getteke comes back, the interior offensive line looks shaky. And they're still not running the ball overall the way they need to. So there are issues on both sides. The point is, Lee, and I don't know what impression you got today, but are they going to match Philadelphia's energy and enthusiasm and passion? We don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, they would have given us lip service last week. Oh, we'll do fine.
Complacency? Are you kidding me? Nah, never around here.
I think, maybe I'm overstating it, J.P. Peterson told you and I something that was very telling. He said he knew the Bucs were going to have a letdown because on defense they had 83 snaps against Detroit, which is a ton of snaps.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Physically, you're just not going to come back from that. Nearly as sharp, nearly as fresh. And I thought that was a hell of a point. But, I mean, I said on this very podcast, I was taking the Broncos into points. I thought there was going to be a letdown. I didn't know there was going to be that kind of letdown. But just human nature, that was such a big emotional win against Detroit. And by just human nature, you're going to have a step back mentally. You start. I mean, it's much more pronounced in college ball than NFL.
And, Steve, as much as they're going to deny any whiff of complacency heading into the Denver game, Steve, whether that's true or not, it's certainly not going to be a factor when the Eagles come to town, when you got your ass beat. There's not going to be any complacency factor for this game.
Ira, you brought up something just a few seconds ago.
Real quickly, I just want to weigh in on J.P. Peterson because I don't want to hit my computer. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy J.P.'s premise there at all because the Bucs' major defensive issues were in the first quarter. These guys were not worn out in the first quarter in week three of the season. If they are, then we might as well make them a six-win team right now. So I don't buy that. The Broncos only had 18 first downs, which is kind of crappy. And they didn't get really beat deep except for a couple of passes on the first drive or the first two drives. So I don't know. I don't think I buy that.
I can't say fatigue.
I mean, they lost the game in the first half. I don't think it was fatigue.
Well, just something I've been arguing totally different, but this backs me up. So I got to give some credibility to J.P. Peterson. I remember.
And he needs some.
Well, this is why you don't have repeat Super Bowls. This is an old argument of mine. This is one reason I hate to go back. This isn't history, but this is why I give credibility and credence to J.P.'s argument. I always said the Bucs couldn't repeat as champions because there's only so much physical beating you could take. When you get to a Super Bowl, you played more games than anybody else.
Yeah.
You have a shorter offseason than anybody else, with the exception of where we played in the Super Bowl. So the following season, there's going to be a drop-off. That's why you don't see so many repeat champions. And that's what happened. So if I'm going to be consistent about that, I got to be consistent about, well, X amount of an ordinary amount of snaps that's going to catch up with you. And so that's why I buy.
Also, they're depleted from a personal standpoint.
But there's a point I'm trying to get at.
But if it's a full season, Lee, I guess you have to ask yourself, when does it catch up to him? So the Bucs played all those games in 2020. Before that 2021 season, would you have said, oh, it'll catch up to him by week 10? It'll catch up to him by November?
Season, which is what happened.
But I'm saying this is week 3, and they shouldn't be tired.
The Broncos
like barely moved the ball in the second half. No touchdowns.
They didn't need any. The point you brought up that you seemed a little surprised by, or the Bucs should be surprised by. Maybe I have the wrong choice of words. But you said they're not running the ball well. When the hell have they run the ball well? You got to go back 4 years to when Fournette was around.
Yeah, Steve likes to go back all the way to Doug Martin. That's a century ago.
No, they ran the ball well when
Fournette.
No, in 2020 when Ronald Jones averaged
five yards a carry. Let me amend my statement. They don't run the ball well when Bucky Irving doesn't have the ball in his hands.
There you go.
How do you like that?
People know, and people are upset with me because I've been harping on Rashad White for years. Well, it's pretty obvious now what the hell the problem is, and it's not Robert Hainsey. Sorry, guys. Here's another uncomfortable fact. Am I allowed to mention the following? If I'm not, I'm sorry. Yaya Diaby.
Yeah.
Where's the production?
Maybe you'd say because they're not getting any push inside, it's affecting Diaby.
That's fair, but I mean, don't you have to have some production? And it's not just Yaya. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I'm not selling him out. But more than once, did I not mention in stories that it made me uncomfortable that when Yaya was named a starter, his numbers went down?
Sage, it's okay to call out all the edge rushers not getting it done. And even when when they're getting there, they're not tackling the guy. So, no good.
Here's the way I'm looking at this week, Steve. I don't really care what Bowles says at the podium in regards to his relationship with Liam Cohn. and how I'm staying out of it and I'm doing this and that. He's got to talk to Liam Cohn this week.
He's that good.
And he's got to tell him what his preferences are, from Bucky Irving to taking some deep shots. He can't be an innocent bystander.
He's not going to do it.
This is year three. Well,
he's not going to do it.
This is year three. This offense is struggling right now. You got to get your input in there. Bowles knows what works against
defense. He's not going to do that, Ira. He won't do it. He said he won't do it.
Behind closed doors?
He takes great pride in being the same guy every day.
That's true.
He believes in not meddling. He hired him for a reason. He's not going to do it. I don't see it.
He didn't do it with Canales.
You don't think they're going to have a discussion about White and Bucky Irving this week?
If you buy what people say about Bowles, I lean toward what Steve's saying. Now, should he? Hell yes.
Sure he should, yeah.
Hell yes. Will he? That's different. Bowles does seem like a guy that I hired you for a reason, do your job. And let's be honest here. A blind person could see Rashad White can't run the ball, and Mike Evans needs the ball in his hands. Figure out a way.
Sage, let's look at it in the day-to-day, right? So he probably has a meeting scheduled with Liam Cohen on Tuesday morning and says, what's the plan this week?
Yeah.
And he looks at it. And
makes a few suggestions, maybe.
Maybe he makes a suggestion or two, or maybe he says, hey, you know, maybe we get that done earlier. I don't think he's going to say, no, don't do that. Or, no, let's get Bucky early. Let's start Bucky. I don't know.
I'm putting Cohen under the microscope this week, Lee.
I agree. He needs to be.
No deep shots. Not enough carries for Bucky Irving. He's got some questions to answer.
Week one. No, I understand. It was the Redskins. Week one.
Commanders.
Well, they'll always be the Redskins to me. The Commandos.
By the way, they're playing well. They're playing well.
Yeah, but they didn't play well week one. And the Bucks after week one were tied with your mighty Chiefs, tied for fifth place in most explosive plays. 2 weeks later, eighth worst Bucks are.
Well, maybe the Commanders did play pretty well in week one, and they just didn't have answers for the Bucks. I think you got to look at it that way, think about it that way, too. But rookie quarterback is different.
I want to know why a team from Denver coming into what felt like 100-degree heat index, far more the fresher team.
Two words I got.
I don't understand.
I don't know if they
looked fresher.
They didn't look fresher,
The Bucks
Steve.
Had effort. They just
Steve, you got to look at the tape for the 11th
time. I watched
You've already
it.
Looked at it
I watched
times.
It. They also got a little lucky, Ira. I mean, you got to get lucky in these games, too.
Two words, Ira. Sean Payton. You know,
you're big on that coach factor. You're big on it.
All because I'm a big coach's factor, period. In the regular season, 7-0 against Bowles.
Doesn't explain why the Bucks had only 7 points. Sean Payton don't mess around too much with his defense.
But Sean Payton knows how to beat the Bucks. And while he may not have anything to do with the defense, he's sure motivated, Pat Surtain.
Sage, motivation. Okay, motivation is something we were talking about. Now, Tom Brady's calling this game Sunday against the Eagles on Fox. Do you think...
I'm gonna offer him a pretzel in the press box to see how that goes off.
Avocado pretzel?
There you go.
Avocado pretzel.
Sage, do you think... That would be kind of funny if you brought a couple of avocados with you and had them in your pocket and just, hey, Tom, I got you an avocado.
Maybe some grits after what I said last week.
So, I don't think seriously, he touches grits. So Tom Brady in the house, is that going to be, for some Bucks, even a little bit motivational? Like, hey, you know, not only do we have this big game... We got Tom here. He said hello to all of us. I don't want to look bad in front of Brady. There's this Tom Brady effect across the whole building. And even though he's not supposed to go to production meetings under the NFL rules because he's going to be a Raiders owner and he can't go to practice, there's nothing in that rule book that says he can't visit and say hello before the game or, you know, high five in the locker room and talk to some of the boys. And, you know, Brady doesn't care too much about rules like that anyway. So, I don't know. You think there's going to be any inspirational factor there?
Lee, let me say this
that's a good one,
exactly
honey.
The way I want to say it, Lee. If what Steve is suggesting as a possible motivating factor, if that's true, shame on you. Shame on you, Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Shame on you. You, Tom Brady is going to be your motivation when you're coming off an ass beating, an ass wipe, and now you can go 3-1 or 2-2 and you're worried about who's in the freaking booth. I understand why Steve mentioned it. I don't blame Steve, but... If it's true, that's a travesty.
They would be more motivated if Kay Adams was in the booth.
Well, no, let's give you a hypothetical. Let's say he goes up to Tristan Wirfs before the game and he says, big fella, I want to tell the world that you're the best left tackle in the game. Are you going to show me that today? Because I'm going to be talking about it to millions of people. And he goes up to Lavonte David and says, look, you better make some plays today because I'll be able to tell the whole country you're a Hall of Famer. Give me a reason to do it. Not us, not the fans, but some players really eat that stuff up. and they look for motivation. That's what I'm talking about.
Lavonne David is going to get a face full of Saquon Barkley, and that's what Lavonne David is focused on right now. Not number 12.
If they're focused. They weren't focused last week.
Steve's always looking for that subtle point. He bats about 125 with that stuff. But I understand why he brings it up, because there's nobody like Brady. I understand that. But the feeling in the building is we got to rebound from that garbage. We put garbage on tape. We have to rebound. And that's got nothing to do with Brady.
I would hope making the playoffs would be a higher goal than making a former teammate who stressed them out make him smile.
I got news for you, Stevie. The Bucks that were, say, the ones that joined the team in 2022 for the first year, they may not be too thrilled with Tom Brady. They weren't on the Super Bowl team, but they were on the team through his distractions and whatever. By the way, Lee, by the way, I don't forget these things. You made a lot of excuses for Brady that year.
And I will. A lot of them. I'll continue.
And when I slapped him around, you didn't like it. You didn't want to hear it. You said, ah, there's other factors. There's this, there's that. And when I said he missed 10 days in training camp, who does that? You said, Ira, that's nothing. What are you talking about?
I agree.
And in retrospect, you owe me a huge apology, DeKemper. What do you think of that?
Well, if anybody's going to be apologizing, it's a guy claiming to be from Brooklyn who lives in Newport Richey, lived there for 30 years, and cops an attitude about grits, who orders a salad at Primanti's. You got no room to whine about grits ordering a salad at Primanti's.
I'll give you that apology, and you give me my apology.
I'll give you a bowl of grits. That's
what I'll do. Sage, interesting comment from Todd Bowles. He was with WFLA chief sports guy Dan Lucas, and Lucas asked him about the interior pass rush wasn't there, you know? And Bowles replies, well, I'm quoting, well, those guys are good run guys. They're not necessarily pass rushers. Now, Logan Hall is out there. That's the number 33 overall pick in the 2022 draft. They didn't draft him that high to not be a, quote, a necessarily pass rusher. So that was damning. Bowles, you know, day after the game said it calmly and coolly. If Logan Hall's not a pass rusher and he's not some legendary run stuffer, what's going on?
Well, it backs up what we've been saying about Logan Hall. He's a man without a position. I don't know what he's supposed to do. I think Bowles was being very honest with that, and I think I'm not sure Logan Hall was drafted to be a pass rusher. I think he was sort of like versatile, and you can use him in a lot of different ways, and primarily against the run, and very, very honest. You know, Gaines, you got Gaines in there. You've got Hall in there. Who's collapsing the pocket, Lee? Nobody's collapsing that pocket. We'll see what happens with Jalen Hurts, but I'm not expecting Kancey to play.
Like, no, I'm not expecting. I do know where there's a position for Logan Hall. It's with the Birmingham Stallions.
Oh, you're Logan Hall. You're feisty today, Lee.
Logan Hall, can someone name an impact he's had? I think he got a fumble recovery
right? Sage, I think we have an emergency because Sean Sullivan, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, GM at Bill Curry Ford, I think he might have just driven off the road.
Uh-oh.
Because you said he wasn't picked to be a pass rusher. Well, the Bucks needed a pass rusher. They had the 27th overall pick and traded down.
Well, they had already drafted Shoyinka. He's supposed to be a pass rusher.
Well, that
rusher.
Was the previous year. And there's Karlaftis on the board, true edge rusher, goes to the Chiefs, and, you know, he's got Super Bowl rings and has played well. So I don't think you ever draft a guy who's a run-stuffing.
Logan Hall was a pass rusher in college at Houston. I never heard anybody say he was a run-stopping guy until after his rookie season. Then there was chatter. They want to mold him into the next Will Golston.
I see what you mean.
Because they figured out the hard way that he can't rush the passer.
Is there any other way
level.
To say it just looks like a draft mistake? I mean,
yes.
It's a mistake.
It looks like it. It looks
and
like
I'll,
it.
I'll throw gas on that fire. Someone prove where I'm wrong when I say this. Todd Bowles can't develop edge rushers. Now, I said the guy's name about four times. I'll say it a fifth time. He goes, well, they never drafted one in the top 10. A coach is supposed to develop guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And when has Todd Bowles, with his time with the Jets, with his time as defensive coordinator with the Bucks, with his time as the head coach with the Bucks, when has he developed an edge rusher?
Look at the Eagles. Howie Roseman's a good GM. He drafted this guy Nolan Smith out of Georgia a couple of years ago. The guy's done nothing. Made zero impact. I don't even think he gets that many snaps. And it's not like he's surrounded by all this talent like they used to have with Reddick and all those people. Brandon Graham. You know, they had guys. Mistakes are made, Steve. It looks like Logan Hall's a mistake.
Sure, and yeah, we'll see if Diaby can snap out of it. Big week for him, and you know, athletic quarterback in there. Let's see Diaby go a little wild. You know,
I still think Bowles is going to end up with 30. Somehow, he's going to end up with 35 or 40 sacks.
Just get
how he's going
to
do it.
Get a friggin' pass rusher in here, edge rusher. I mean, to get 10 sacks or more. Damn it, other teams, Cam, and that's what's missing from this team. The Bucs can whine and scream and holler and cuss me all they want. The evidence is just overwhelming, if not damning. Real quick, there was an impact play Logan Hall made. They're still feeling the effects.
Uh-oh, I know what it is. You're going to bring up Ryan Jensen. Ryan Jensen. Yeah.
He ruined the career of a Pro Bowl center. That was the impact Logan Hall made.
Steve, I got something for you. We talk about Bucky Irving and White. I'm starting to think, and Bowles is directly involved in this one. he doesn't have to have a discussion with Liam Cohn for this one. Should Dennis be getting more snaps than K.J. Britt at this point, Steve? I think Dennis could have tackled that guy on fourth down.
I agree.
Britt was a little late.
It looks like it, but goes.
Here's why I think no, although I would think differently. What's Bowles' M.O.? You know what? I know it. Steve knows it. The drunk on the corner bar knows it. What's his M.O.?
Why are you looking at me when you said the drunk on the corner bar?
Well, you know, I got to look at somebody.
All right, what's his M.O.?
Stopping the run. K.J. Britt on the interior.
He's a pretty good.
He still
hasn't played a ton of games. He missed tackles in this game. There was a run fit here. Todd Bowles mentioned it on his radio show without mentioning Britt. But on the big play, you know, Britt was slow getting there.
Yep.
And
Dennis has
some
juice, Steve. He's got some juice, Dennis.
You know, and we've seen this before with players. I'm not against K.J. Britt in any way. But when you see a guy show up as a late season starter, and, you know, flash on the scene, you have to keep in mind that the guy has got 3 months of wear and tear that's not on his body. And, you know, it's different. That was a big thing before this season. Let's see if K.J. Britt can go through a whole season.
And you know, Dennis is even fresher than that.
They'll keep mixing it up.
The play that Ira referenced, the fourth down touchdown.
That play just baffles me.
Well, Anthony Nelson did his job. I mean, think about it. Running back against a defensive end. Running back's going to win
the
whole
game. He made him stop.
He didn't do his job.
I thought so.
At the very least, he should have kept him from going outside. You want to
turn him back in.
Exactly. Well, he didn't turn him back in.
I mean, do you really believe a running outside linebacker is going to be more athletic than a running back? Going to have more moves?
No, but he was there.
There you go.
But he was there.
He was there, but once again, this guy's not Lawrence Taylor. You know, he's a backup outside linebacker. He made him stop. I can hear my football coach saying right now, wait till the cavalry comes. The cavalry didn't come. K.J. Britt was late. So Nelson got, what do they call that? Hair scalp. You got scalp.
And Steve, you heard my question to Bowles today. One of them, swarming to the ball. It's been the mantra here since Monty Kiffin was around. And they were great at it back then. They didn't swarm to that ball. And they had plenty of time to get there. And where were the other guys?
Well, there was a really good block.
Where's the left cornerback?
There's a good block on Whitehead there. Look, Britt was right there. He just screwed up.
I just thought they let Sean Payton get away with a terrible call.
Yeah,
it was a terrible play call.
That would have turned the game. You think about that, could have turned the game.
Could have.
We hit that stage. So, look, so now we got the Eagles. And
I don't know what to make of the Eagles, Steve. I just don't. They're up and down.
Well, they got a lot of injuries, like the Bucs. So it looks like A.J. Brown. A.J.
Brown Smith,
is not going to play for the third consecutive week. And with the hamstring issue.
He's by far their best receiver.
So he hasn't played since week one. You've got Devonta Smith, their 1A receiver. He's got a concussion, doesn't seem likely.
They went to Goddard a lot last
week. He was throwing
up
on the field from his concussion.
Wow.
Against the Saints. And they've got Lane Johnson, their big Pro Bowl right tackle, also with a concussion. So missing those three guys, if they actually miss, it's a different team.
Wait a minute. If Lane Johnson doesn't play, I'm moving Logan Hall off the left edge over there. He's going to create havoc. They got Dallas Goddard, I think, is their tight end. He had a big game.
He had a big game, but his big play was with 1 minute left.
Yeah.
It was a busted play, 60 yards or so, you know. I mean, they're obviously a talented team, but very beatable, in my opinion. I thought they were beatable before they had the injuries.
I think Philly's been a little disappointing. Wait, now, didn't they lose a rough one in week two?
Oh, they choked against the Falcons.
That was Atlanta. Yeah, that was Atlanta.
They choked that game away.
The Eagles are favored, Lee. They're still favored on the road.
After the way the Bucs played last week, I would too. I'm sorry.
Hurts doesn't look that good. He doesn't look nearly what he looked like 2 years ago.
Yeah, he hasn't looked good for about a year.
Yeah, I mean, they move the ball, though. There's second in the league in yards.
Barkley's the guy,
Barkley runs the ball.
Barkley's the guy.
Can the Bucs stop him without Vita Vea or Kancey? Now, Kancey didn't practice today. Vea not really doing much. But if he plays, it's probably going to be sparingly if he plays.
I'd be shocked if Barkley doesn't get at least 20 carries, Lee. At least 20 carries. I think he's most of their offense.
There are certain analysts out there that do not like that offensive coordinator. He was at Dallas. He was at with the Chargers. Damn, I can't think of his name. Boise State quarterback, Kellen Moore.
I thought he did a good job with the Cowboys.
The analysts don't like him because they say he's a PlayStation warrior. He knows how to call plays, and that's it. He likes the flashy plays, but he doesn't call plays to win games. He calls play to add stats. We shall see. If they don't hand the ball to Barkley 20 times, then Kellen Moore's backing up what the critics say. Now, Sirianni, now I don't know if I'm listening to the wrong people because it's Eagles fans calling sports radio.
They're still roasting him.
Oh, my gosh, they're roasting him.
Yeah, they're roasting him.
Is that a bad source I'm hearing?
I will ask you this, though, Lee. You were at the game, and I asked Steve this. How would you describe the Broncos contingent in the crowd? Significant?
They were certainly there. It wasn't like a Steelers game. It wasn't like when the Eagles decided to take it
what
over.
What do you expect like in terms of Philly fans Sunday?
Well, 30%
on the resale market.
What I'm hoping is that there are a lot of canceled flights and some of these people didn't get here.
See, only you think of that, Steve.
So, but there'll be a lot of green. There always is when the Eagles are here. Be a lot of green. And, you know, like I said, I have to hope they missed their flights and lost all their money.
Are these transplants or are these flying down for the game?
You know, people, they get bent out of shape, and I don't know why. It's like, what makes you think this is Pittsburgh, and every freaking game's going to be a sellout, and everybody's going to be wearing red, and it hasn't been this way for 50 years. It ain't going to be this way 20 years from now. It's like that in Miami. It's like that in Jacksonville.
Well, it's a Florida problem, Steve.
I don't know if it's a problem, because it's happened forever. I call it a trait. I don't know if it's a problem. Do you think any team wins the game based on what the color gear someone in the stands is wearing? I don't.
No.
If someone came up with some evidence like, well, whenever the Bucks have a 70% advantage of fans wearing red, that gives them like 7 points. When someone came up with a study like that, then it'll bother me. Until then, I don't give a damn.
Here's another trait. Me not picking up the check, Steve. Another trait.
It's not a problem. It's just a trait. In past years, and I expect it on Sunday, it wasn't happening against the Broncos, but I think it does matter because it forces the Bucks to go to silent count. They've done that many times at home, and that affects the offense. That affects things you can do, and whether it means a win or a loss, I don't know, but that's just reality. Like, that's like
and,
flat
and you got an O-line that's struggling in pass protection.
Exactly. So,
did you happen to hear that ever being a problem when Arians and Brady were here? Like, oh, my God, we had to do a silent count. Oh, my God, we're going to lose. Deal with it. Be a man.
No, but if it affects
– adapt. If it adjust,
sure,
overcome.
Absolutely. It's not an excuse, but if it legitimately affects one play.
An offside.
Then that can be the difference in a tight game. That's all I'm saying.
Could be a third and one. You push back 5 yards. It could affect you.
Adapt, adjust, overcome.
There you go.
So, Ira, Todd Bowles said, and without joking around on Sirius, he said, I feel like when we have bad practices, we play better. What's your take on that?
It sounds a little bit like an alibi. I never heard him say it before they got their ass kicked last week.
That's true.
I hope they stunk today out on the practice field, Lee, if that's the case. They just got to go out with a sense of urgency, Lee. They didn't have it. It is hard to have that for 17 weeks, Lee. And this league, more than any other year, Lee, early that I remember, upsets everywhere. That's why people, Lee, with that knockout pull, they're getting clobbered. And I bet you a lot of people had the Bucks last week, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a subject that Steve likes to talk about. You know, Steve's in leaders and misses it. Not as much as you. I just think it's a waste of time. But it is irritating because this has happened so many times. Guys like Mike Evans. Oh, I love Mike Evans. You know that. He's been here how long now? 11 years. Well, we just weren't ready to play. I can understand if a rookie said that. Come on, Mike.
How do you think that goes over with a season ticket holder? It's a lot of money for a buck.
You know,
ticket.
If that's true, Evan should have gotten someone's face. Grabbed him by the face and said, look, SOB, we're trying to get in the freaking playoffs. These guys are assholes. Do it. You know, that just drives me nuts. It's one thing for a rookie to say that, or maybe a second-year guy. But how many times have we heard that in the last decade?
We'll see if it's a hiccup.
We talked about it on the last podcast. I don't know why that happens. Evans didn't say, I'm not ready to play.
No, he did not say that.
The collective we.
Yeah.
It's a mystery, but it happens across sports, right? I mean, I understand football is different because you only got 17 games. But, you know, it happens in every sport.
I think Evans was caught up in the same thing. He didn't look overly interested Sunday.
Well, I know he was upset afterwards. You could tell he was upset.
All right, Sage Lug. So, the Eagles. Let's get to these Eagles here. So, Devin White's been inactive in the first three games. He's on the roster. They say he's practicing hard, that he's very engaged.
I think the guy that's replacing him is playing well.
He's been praised for his professionalism and... he actually talked about playing special teams only once for the Bucs years ago when he, Shaq Barrett, and Lavonte David rotated reps because they had a couple of injuries in the game. So he's not playing special teams. But my question for you is, whatever you think of Devin White, the guy wore the green dot on his helmet for the Buccaneers for 5 years. He knows Todd Bowles' defense inside and out. How much is, and he's obviously motivated to beat the Bucs. How much can he help? What do you think's been going on with that? How do you think the Bucs may have adjusted some things, knowing that Devin knows everything that's going on?
Well, I'll say this. If he dresses and he plays, which I still think's an if, we'll see. He hasn't been. Lee, if he gets on the field, we talked about motivation before about Brady. Well, this one's real. If he gets on the field, he will be super motivated to show Bowles, Light, and the Glazers, you guys screwed me. I should have got that extension. He will be motivated. You're hoping he does play.
No. I hope he is motivated because his head's not going to be in the game if that's the case.
There you go. But as to Steve's other point, Lee, about his knows Bowles' defense in and out, I think that's rather inconsequential. I don't put a lot of stock on it. I think Bowles changes up the game plan week to week. I don't think he's going to be a big help in that regard.
That's a fair point. I think there'll be some kind of help. How much?
I mean, Fangio knows what Bowles does more than Devin White does.
He would hope so. I'm sure he studied Bowles.
Yeah, but
a lot
I'm talking
more.
About the Eagles' offense. The offense coordinator calls him in and says, "What's going on here? What do you see?" I know what I see. What do you see,
but
Devin?
But it changes.
You
it know? Changes. I understand. The Bucs. Can you imagine how humbled Devin White must feel now? These are his prime years. What is he? 26? 27?
Yeah, 26.
He should be kicking ass, Lee. He should be getting 6 sacks, not 9, but 6. And instead, he can't even suit up, Lee. He's humbled.
I'm not convinced. And this is there's
and if
one,
he's not suiting up, he's a problem in the locker room. There's more to it.
I would not be shocked at that. Remember I always say about egos, Ira, in the NFL? Never underestimate them. Don't underestimate his ego. Yeah, I don't think he's shamed at all. If he was shamed, I think he'd be active.
Well,
there's a reason why he's not active.
He wants a big contract, Lee.
That too.
Hey.
Now, your ego doesn't get you a contract. Production gets you a contract.
It's interesting, Sage. There's some rumors that the Eagles may be looking to trade him to the Bills. It'd be very interesting if the Bills bring him in.
Because that guy Milano's
given
hurt.
How good they the Bills are.
Does Howie Roseman look like a fool? If he's looking to trade him, there's a reason.
Yeah.
So, Ira, one thing that we didn't I wanted to run by you, and it's a product of the NFL, but it is unique to this week. What Pat Kerwin floated to Todd Bowles on the radio was that, hey, typically, you get your ass clobbered at home, and you got another home game. You're going to have a Wednesday practice with the pads popping and get everybody intense and get after it. Especially early in the season, you only have a limited amount of padded practices anyway. Kerwin said you may even do a little pad work on Thursday just to snap him out of it. And Bowles didn't deny the premise, but he said, hey, we got a Thursday night game next week. We got some injuries. We can't do it. And they were underwear football today. You think that's anything?
I'm with Kerwin on this one. I'm totally with Kerwin. Get him going on Wednesday. Get him with a different mindset, a physicality, and that's what pads do. I wish Bowles would have listened to Kerwin.
I see both sides. I don't disagree with Kerwin at all.
They need a kick in the ass this week.
Well, they need a kick in the ass, period. However, having said that, a division game is more important. They're trying to win the division.
I don't want to go to 2-2, Lee. I'm worried about this game.
Again, I see both sides. Kerwin makes a lot of sense. You know, if you got to choose what holds more relevance, a non-division win or a division win, I would kind of lean that division win is a little more important in Bowles' eyes.
All right, Sage. I don't know how I feel about it, but it's interesting. Wanted to get your Sage take, and we got Lee's Sage take. So we're going to get you out of here, but we're going to give our picks. But we want to tell everybody, don't worry, drive Curry. That means Bill Curry Ford It starts by going to their website, BillCurryFord.com. I can't imagine a better thing to do when I'm holed up in a storm, Ira. Shop for a new vehicle. Your trade is never worth more than it is right now.
Steve, we want to wish all our listeners and readers a safe week, because that's a big storm barreling down in the Gulf. It's a big
one. Big storm surge expected, and you know, we're not going to do the weather report here, Sage, but we certainly can wish everybody well. And
I'm not Paul Delgado over there or Dennis Phillips.
You are wearing suspenders, though, with your newsboy hat.
Gentlemen, may I remind you, and I don't like doing it, but I have to, we're 0-6 the last 2 weeks. Come on, we got to snap out of this.
And if you're living up in Tallahassee or in that area that's going to be hit hard north of Tampa Bay, Florida's Elite Restoration is ready up in that area. They've got a team dispatched for roof-damaged homes. Don't hesitate. Their website has all their information, floridaselite-restoration.com. They're ready. And, of course, you can still mention the Sage, even in Tallahassee, Joe Bucks fan. And when you call, and you'll get a $500 discount if you end up using their services. But they know how to fight with those insurance companies.
And call them before you call your insurance
company. Call them right away. Don't hesitate. Just do it.
How are you spending your day off hold up, Ira?
Playing my guitar. I got to practice that guitar. I'm going to be the next Eddie Van Halen. Like, I might bring it to the press box Sunday. And a newsboy hat.
Well, the newsboy's hat, if you wear it right, I like that.
As you mentioned, Ira, Eagles are a 2.5-point favorite. They're coming in at 2-1. I mentioned some of those injuries. They're not doing anything spectacular except running the ball extremely well. Hot running back. You know the Bucs situation. What do you see in this game?
Oh, I got to turn it over to DeKemper to go first over here.
Go ahead, Lee.
I can't lead this off. Lee, what do you got? This is a tough one.
Bucks 21, Eagles 20.
What decides the game?
They find a way to slow down Barkley.
All right, I'll go second, Steve. No, you go second, Steve.
Oh, you got me going second. All right, Sage. Well, I'm going to put a couple things out there. I think the Eagles, without those receivers and some issues on the offensive line, the Bucks will be able to hold the score down. I really do. A hot running back doesn't scare me too much, although they're going to force him to throw, and we know the issues that the Bucks have with Vea and Kancey, but the run blitzes will be there. And I think Bowles, much like we saw with Sean Payton, Bowles has had his share of success with the Eagles to a degree. So I'm going to say that the Bucks offense snaps out of this thing a little bit, or just enough, and I think the home field is going to matter a little bit, especially given the Eagles were just on the road and back-to-back with the road games there. So I'm going to go Bucks with a decisive victory, 24-17.
A touchdown game is decisive?
Yeah.
With you two gentlemen picking the home team, it leads me to balance this ticket.
Contrarian,
I think Hurts ends up hurting the Bucks with his legs, not his arm. He's not throwing the ball that well. The Bucks will constrict the field for Barkley, but this pass rush isn't very good on their best day. Now they don't know how to rush Hurts. They can't let him get outside. I think Philly does just enough on offense, maybe a special teams play, and the Eagles win this game 21-17, and that's a tough way for the Bucks to go to Atlanta on a short week.
You don't think the Bucks slowing down Jaden Daniels in the second half is a harbinger of being able to slow down Jalen Hurts?
No. You know, the Bucks had a big lead, I think, for most of that game. Let them play loose. I'm looking for a lot of Eagle fans in the crowd. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to say, I think the Bucks dropped to 2-2.
So what you're saying, Ira, just to clarify, you're saying the Bucks are going to score 17 points, and after four games, this offense will be worse than it was with Dave Canales as far as putting up points. That's what you're telling us. Worse.
Well, I like the way Philly played defense in New Orleans. And the Saints were averaging 45 points. Yeah. Now you're not going to keep that up. But they clamped down on the Saints. They did. We'll see if Gedeky plays. Maybe that can help the offense a little bit. They're going to go after Mayfield. I'm sticking with the Eagles 21-17.
All right, Ira Kaufman calling for chaos in the streets of Tampa with the Bucks dropping back-to-back home games. Very sad times indeed. Stay safe out there, and we'll be back next time.